So, good afternoon once again. My name is James. It is my privilege to give to you the sermon today. Before I do, I'd also just like to pray. And so I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We've just already heard today how the beauty of your word speaks to us no matter what we're going through. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And I just pray that your word would speak to our hearts today in whatever manner it needs to speak to our hearts. Lord, teach us what it means to live as a Christian in a world that does not know you. Would you speak to us today, Father? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are going through a sermon series. Last week we started an 8-part sermon series. Today, the title for the sermon, Christian Living, Practicing Sabbath Rest. And so the sermon title is Christian Living. As we go through in the next months, we want to ask ourselves this question. How should we live as Christians? What does it mean to live as a Christian in a world that does not know the Lord? And so, yeah, we're looking at what the Bible says about how we are to live as Christians. Last week, in the first part, we talked about dealing with temptation. And we looked at James 4, verse 7, which says that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we talked about the fact that all of us are going to go through the suffering of temptation. We may not all be asked to go through physical persecution, but we will all suffer temptation. And we looked at what it means, how Jesus dealt with temptations. We looked at how the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness and how he will often tempt us by 1 John 2:16, the three things, the worldly things that we are often tempted to go for. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we looked at how Jesus resisted the devil's schemes by taking out the sword of Scripture, and he had the Bible ready. It was on his lips, ready to go. So whenever we are tempted, when we're going through anxiety, when we're going through worry, having the Bible memorized, ready to go. Psalm 55:22. I cast all my anxieties upon the Lord, and he will sustain me. We need to know his word. We also looked at how Jesus also told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he warned them with temptation, watch and pray, he said to them. Watch and pray. So I said last week, let's be aware of our emotions and our feelings. If you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely, if you're tired, halt, be aware. The enemy is prowling. I also said, the devil hates it when we sing to him. He can't stand it. And how the Israelites went out to battle, these grown men singing songs to the Lord. And so this week, we want to continue to think practically. I want to help us to think practically because the Bible is a very practical book. This week, we're going to take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, as we talk about keeping the Sabbath holy, practicing Sabbath rest. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open it up. I'll be reading from the NIV. We have some Bibles at the back if you don't have one. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord. So our text says, Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, if you grew up in a Christian home, you may have some idea about what that means. You may have just got it. But if you did not grow up in a Christian home, automatically those terms may be a little alien to you. Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? What does it mean to be holy? In simple terms, do you or I consciously keep one day of the week separate from the rest to have God-honoring, satisfying, recharging rest where we find our satisfaction in Him? Upfront and honest, I can struggle with that. God has been teaching me this last year how I'm living as a Christian and how I often don't keep the Sabbath day holy. And He has been challenging me on this point. But I think it's a point, as Christians, we either struggle with it or we don't pay it any attention whatsoever. Sabbath, what is Sabbath? That's for the Jewish. Holy? We have the new covenant now. Often as Christians, we can struggle. And truthfully, I can't remember hearing too much teaching on this subject. I was thinking, when was the last time I heard a sermon about Sabbath rest? One of the reasons for that is this is a subject which often has been debated by Christians throughout church history. We're living in the new covenant now. Are we still obligated to keep the old covenant? But regardless of where we stand on this point, I want to show us from our text today, it will be highly profitable for us as Christians to live our lives according to the pattern that God has created. God, the creator of our souls, who knows our souls best, to live according to the pattern He has designed and not the pattern that our work, burden-out culture in the West, 21st century, imposes upon us. Because we will be living our lives according to some pattern, whether we know it or not. So today we're going to talk about this subject, practicing Sabbath rest. And I have 3 points that I like to take from our text. First point, I think it's important to know the purpose of the Sabbath. Why did God create the Sabbath? Secondly, and this is something I'm really going to try to push home, the Sabbath is a blessing. That's how I believe we should think about it. The Sabbath is a blessing. It is not a burden, but it is very easy to turn it into a burden. Thirdly, I want to think practically. So every week, I want to give us some applications. Practicing Sabbath rest, in my limited knowledge, I'll try to give us a few pointers of what that looks like. As Christians, it is good for our souls to live according to the pattern that God has established for them. We see in the Bible that our God is a God who creates boundaries. Our God is a God who creates seasons. He creates patterns. We see Jesus with this. Jesus had the habit of getting up very early in the morning and going out to pray. Jesus had the custom of every Sabbath going to the temple and worshiping God. He had that habit. I believe God has created us, human creatures, as creatures of habit, creatures who work well within routine. We see this in the natural world around us. We just observe this is how God has made the world. I want to give us a few verses which point this to us as well. So firstly, Genesis 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Daniel 2, 21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And if we know that chapter, the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, then goes on to detail all of these different seasons that we have. We live in Europe, and one of the things that I like about actually living in Europe is we have a temperate climate. I really like to see the changing of the seasons. I love spring. I love autumn. I love to see things coming out. I like to see the changing of the colors. And God is a God who creates the cycle of the moon. We see the tides coming. We see the tides going. This is a God who creates this season. And I believe, and our text also shows us, 6 days he labored, 1 day he rested. There is also a pattern of work and rest that God has ordained. So what I'd like us to look at is a little bit more detail, verse 11. Verse 11 says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the," turn over, "heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." I want us to take a closer look at these two words, Sabbath and holy. The Lord rested on the seventh day, but we know from Isaiah 40 that God is a God who does not grow tired. God does not grow weary. So when it talks about in our text that God rested, this is not God needed to take a nap after all of that creating business. He was really worn out. He needed to lie down a little bit. We know it doesn't mean that. So what does it mean? Genesis 2 tells us that the word for rest is Shabbat. That is the Hebrew word for Shabbat. We come the word Sabbath from that word. The word Shabbat in Hebrew has at least three meanings. It can mean to rest. It can mean to cease or to stop doing something. And it can mean to end doing something. So what it means is God ceased his work of creating. But there is a sense, right, that the sun still continues to rise and set. So God has finished with his labor of creating, but he now upholds his creation. Jesus also gives us this idea. In John 5, verse 17, John says, or Jesus says in John, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." The difference is God knows how to rest in his work. And I believe that we should look at this, God's rest after 6 days. This is a rest of satisfaction. This is a rest of contentment. God looked at what he had created and saw it is very good. Do we know how to have that rest of satisfaction? Are we able to rest in him? So Sabbath means to cease or to stop working. Holy. What does the word holy mean? We always hear this in church, right? But if I was to say, well, what does it mean, holy? Holy means separate or set apart or dedicated to God. So we see that God is doing this in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we see time and again God telling the Israelites that he is setting them apart from all of the other nations. He is giving them these laws, the Ten Commandments. He is saying, no, you are to be a holy, set apart people dedicated to me. In the same way, God has created the days. He has set apart one of them. He has made one of them holy, dedicated to him. And then he enshrines this in the Ten Commandments. And so our text, Exodus 20, 8 to 11, this is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. The fourth of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, the moral law, the Mosaic law given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. But I'm telling you, when the Israelites received this law, they were not scratching their heads thinking, what does that mean? Keep the Sabbath holy. Because God had already showed them that pattern. Just a few chapters before, we see the Israelites were already familiar with keeping the Sabbath holy. Exodus 16, verse 26 says this. 6 days you are to gather it. So he's talking about the manna that was raining down. God provided the Israelites with manna. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, the stop working day, there will not be any. So why did God make keeping the Sabbath holy one of his Ten Commandments? What was the purpose of the Sabbath? If we look at the texts around Exodus 20, we can see at least two purposes of why God created the Sabbath. So one of the purposes we find in the Leviticus 23, verse 3, which says this, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly." So the first purpose, the Sabbath day, was a day to gather together and worship God. First purpose. Second purpose of the Sabbath, according to the word. Exodus 16, verse 29 says, "Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out." The Sabbath was given so that Israelites would learn to trust in God. That they would learn to trust in God's provision. That's challenging. There's something in us that wants to rely on ourselves. But from the very beginning, God is saying, "No, I want you to learn to trust in me. I want you to learn to enjoy and find your rest of satisfaction in me." We can also look to the New Testament, because Jesus also talks about the Sabbath, right? We might remember the story in Mark 2, where Jesus' disciples are picking the grains of corn, and as the Pharisees come up, and Jesus talks to them about the Sabbath. This is what Jesus says about the Sabbath. Mark 2, 27. "Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.'" That is so, so key for us to get. God blessed a day. He blessed a day and gave it as a gift, as a blessing to humans. He gave it to teach us, don't go beyond your God-given boundary. Don't idolize work, which is so easy to do, especially today. But instead, learn to trust and enjoy me. That's what God says to us. So again, back to this question that is going to pervade this sermon series. How are we to live as Christians? We are to live in a way that observes the God-ordained pattern, that observes this rest. So the next point that I get from our text is the Sabbath is a blessing. It is not a burden. Now, you might or might not be aware of this, but this subject of Sabbath causes a lot of questions, and it has caused a lot of debate and opinion throughout church history. If you're not aware of that, okay. But I'm telling you, it really has. So on the one end of the spectrum, we get the Seventh-day Adventists, who some of their doctrine is pretty irregular. I would not call them a cult, but they are really on the other side of the spectrum, and they have hung their hat on the Sabbath. Their name is in it. And so they observe the Sabbath on a Saturday, and it's really strictly observed. You've got to observe it. But other denominations have also made this an important thing because of this. They say that this text is a creation ordinance. It comes before the old covenant, and therefore we are still to keep it. So some churches make it a big deal about keeping the Sabbath holy, and they're quite strict about it. A friend of mine used to attend a church, and he liked the church. Him and his family used to attend a church, and they were very strict about keeping the Sabbath. They had a morning service, And they had an evening service, and all of their members were to keep to these services. And in between, they were to go home, or they were allowed to have meals at one another's homes, which I thought was actually really nice, and my friend also really liked that. But one Sunday, my friend and his family decided to go rogue and before the morning service, go to Starbucks. And so they went to Starbucks and they got their coffees and they got their hot chocolates. And then with their cups, they walked to the church service. But just as they were turning the corner, they all suddenly started feeling really guilty. It's like, okay, find a bin. We need to get rid of this evidence of these coffee cups. So he told me this story of how they were desperately looking for a way to get rid of the evidence. It is very easy to turn the Sabbath into a blessing, sorry, into a burden, and get legalistic about it. So again, on this spectrum, we have other Christians who would legitimately, I think, argue, Jesus has established a new covenant. We're not bound to the old covenant anymore. Now, here is an interesting fact for you. 9 of the 10 commandments, the Old Testament 10 commandments, are repeated in the New Testament, with the exception of the 4th commandment, to keep the Sabbath holy. So how are we, as New Covenant Christians, to see keeping the Sabbath holy? I think that we can say it's not a way of securing righteousness, because all of the commandments have been fulfilled in Jesus, right? At Jesus' death on the cross, at Jesus' blood, we have this promise of a relationship with him, forgiveness of sins. Yet at the same time, we see Jesus observing the Sabbath day. We see Jesus worshiping on the Sabbath day. And also, quite interestingly, if you know your Bible, in Revelation chapter 1, it says John was worshiping on the Lord's day. John writes and he says, I was worshiping on the Lord's day. And then he has this vision. And so Christians have taken this and said, okay, let's mark the Sabbath as the day when Jesus was resurrected, the Sunday. We make this the Lord's day, which I think is legitimate. But as I say, it is so easy to get legalistic about this topic. And so very often when the topic comes up, I would think that's impossible, that's really tough, or do we still have to do that? You see, when we look at the Bible, and when the Bible talks about the Sabbath, very often the Bible will begin with this, with these stories of Jesus. It was a Sabbath day, and you know trouble is brewing between the Pharisees and Jesus. Very often that happens. And so that example of Mark 2, I think it starts, it was a Sabbath day, and then the Pharisees come. But I want us to think about this for 1 second. You see, I do think the Pharisees, they loved the law. And basically, they wanted to keep this commandment. So they had a really good start. They wanted to keep the commandment and not work on one day. Okay. So we're going to keep Sabbath holy, we're going to obey this commandment, we're not going to work. So what does that mean, pipes up somebody? What does it mean not to work then? Can I help my friend who's moving? Can I carry a table? Okay, we need some definitions. Okay, you can't carry a table. Can I carry a book? Okay, well, let's write it down. And so began the Jewish scribal law. So this is what actually the Pharisees had to obey on the Sabbath. The exact weight of what you can carry on the Sabbath cannot be more than a dry fig. You can carry enough milk for one swallow and enough honey to put on a wound. If you want to light a candle, you will need to hire a Gentile to do it. Endless rules, endless argument that had a good beginning. It is easy to turn this Sabbath day, meant for humans, given to humans as a blessing, into a burden. What I want to encourage us today is to see it as a blessing. not a burden. Remember that Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man. So let's not think of it as an obligation, because I don't think we're obligated. Let's think of it instead as an invitation, a principle for how we are to live our lives as Christians. Because we are under the new covenant, I think this command is very much in line with what Jesus teaches us about rest. Jesus says, "Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus promises us rest in him, a rest of satisfaction. And so for us, New Covenant Christians, a key text when it comes to the Sabbath is Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 10. It says this: "There remains then a Sabbath rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." This passage, what this passage means, what the author of Hebrews means, there's no more spiritual striving. And that is so tempting. There's no more self-justificating works. I'm not too sure of my destiny, so I need to work and I need to produce. There's no more of that. God wants you and me to learn to rest in him. He wants us to enjoy a rest that provides us with refreshed, revived energy. But I know how hard it is. This command, for us to keep to this command, is incredibly countercultural, especially in the culture that we live in today. The culture in many parts of the world has rightfully been described as an overwork, burnout culture. That's how it's been described. Because in many of the industries, many of the workplaces today, we'll know that your boss expects you to put your job before anything else. And if you're not willing to put it first before anything else, there is somebody who is willing to take your place. You know that I like statistics. So I was doing a little bit of research about this, and I found one of many. There are so many studies out there about burnout. There are so many out there. One study by a good research group called the Asana Group interviewed 10,000 people in 7 different countries, and they found that 70% of people had experienced workplace burnout. Some figures put it higher. There may be some of you here today who really know what I'm talking about. It's just work, it's just work, it's a work. It's a society that expects that from us. It's a society which has no idea about the God-ordained pattern of work and rest. It just keep going. It just keep going. So we live in this overwork culture. How on earth are we to keep practically the Sabbath holy? How might we go about that? I want us to think practically, and in a moment I'm going to show us 2 suggestions. But just for a moment, let me say something about the opposite side. Because many of us need to hear the message not to idolize work and find your rest in Jesus. But we also need to pay attention to what our text says in verse 9. Verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So we rest after 6 days of labor, or nowadays 5 days. But the text implies we're actually laboring, right? We're not being idle. We're not doing nothing. It's not 6 days of rest, 1 day of work. Work can be toilsome. Work can be burdensome. In a broken world, work cannot be easy. But Christian, let us not be passive. Let us also remember what Jesus says, Colossians 3, what Paul says, Paul says this about work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever sphere you're in, work at it hard as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So with this in mind, let's think practically now. Practicing Sabbath rest. Now, for many of us, that day might be the Sunday, right? There might be the Lord's Day, because we can actually fulfill one of the purposes of the Sabbath, which is to gather together and worship God. But some people have to work on a Sunday. The hospitals cannot close. If you're a hospital worker, you might have to work on a Sunday. If you're a firefighter, you might have to work on a Sunday. And therefore, I encourage you, don't shrug your shoulders and say, sorry, I have to work. The Sabbath is Sunday. No, the Sabbath doesn't mean seventh. The Sabbath means stop working. So I would encourage you, choose another day. Just choose another day. But if your Sabbath is the Sunday, how might you spend the time outside of the few hours at church when you go home? Not by working. That's what I say. Not by going back to work. Here are two suggestions. First suggestion, find what quickens your soul for the Lord. I love this quote. I had to get a quote in here, and it's such a wonderful quote by John Piper. And basically, it really gets at what I'm trying to say about the kind of rest we need to find. And actually, Carl actually also alluded to it earlier. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. We will most have that satisfying rest that we all need when we learn that we are most satisfied in God. So the first question to ask us to begin thinking about, where do you feel closest to God? What quickens your heart for the Lord? And I'm not necessarily talking about something that is really inherently Christian. I'm not talking about listening to worship music all day, or I feel closest to God when I'm praying. Great. But outside of the spiritual disciplines, you have been uniquely created, uniquely made. What quickens your soul for the Lord? For some people, it may be God has made you, and you have an interest and a love of woodwork. That's not me. But if that is you, somebody who loves to work with wood, why not pursue it? If you feel closest to God when doing it. For me, it would be taking a long walk in nature, in God's creation. That quickens my soul for the Lord. And after it, I feel refreshed. I feel recharged. What is it for you? Maybe it's calligraphy. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's tinkering around in the car. Ask yourself the question, what is it? Now, I want to say something about movies. Because for many of us, and I would also include myself, many of us equate rest with 5 hours down the basement, binging out on Netflix. It's not about that. It's not about that. Rest doesn't mean leisure. Rest doesn't mean entertainment. But I think there is a place for watching something. I have watched things, if a movie has a good theme of redemption, of hope and justice, it can point us to God. And so I think there is a place for it. I'm praying that there is a place for it. But we need to be careful, because I see in myself the tendency for comfort. And so we need to be careful with that. That's the first suggestion. What quickens your soul for the Lord? Second suggestion. Be realistic and intentional about ceasing working, not working. We keep the Sabbath holy. We keep it set apart and instead deliberately do things where we find satisfaction in the Lord. But let's be upfront, that's really hard. In fact, this is probably a sermon for some of you. This is the last thing. You've legitimately got a presentation coming up in a few weeks. And I'm talking to you about keeping the Sabbath. So what might it look like to start? I think here's one thing that we could all do. Turn off your devices for one day of the week. That would be a start. And that's tough. Already I feel it in me. Well, no way. Turn off the phone, turn off any devices, turn off anything to do with work. You are not refreshed by endlessly scrolling through something. No way. Turn it off. No distractions. If you're single, you've probably got it a little bit easier. If you are married and you have a family, husbands, this does not mean, do not take away from this message, go down to the basement and rest while the rest of the family do their own thing. Do not involve everybody. How does your wife learn to rest? What quickens your wife's soul for the Lord? Do you know it? If you have children, involve them. Involve everybody. So, for example, for us, what we like to do is play board games. That's not for everybody. But what we like to do, 2-3 hours, we just get around as a family, we play board games. Maybe you have a special breakfast. One day of the week, you have a special breakfast, 2 hours, everybody just sitting there enjoying the food, enjoying the company. Pursue it. I understand it is hard, but I want to encourage us again, just at the end. Let us live in a way that observes this pattern of work and satisfying rest that God has ordained for us. Because he knows what you and I, our souls, look like. So we are fighting against that if we give in to the culture's pattern of rest, which isn't very much. Learn to rest in what Jesus has done for you. Slow down enough to find your satisfaction in him, because Jesus invites you to rest in him. The Lord of the Sabbath says, come to me and learn to rest. So let us do that. That is how we are to live our lives as Christians. Let's close our eyes and let me pray for us, because I think we do need to learn in this. I know that I need so much to grow in this area. Heavenly Father, when we read these words, to keep the Sabbath holy, it seems so hard. It is against the culture. But we are to live according to the pattern that you want us to live in. And I want to pray for me, for my Christian brothers and sisters, would you help us, would you teach us to live in such a way that honors that? Help us, Father, to take a day where we can just enjoy you, we can trust in you, and find our rest in you. Whatever that may be, would you teach us about learning to do this, Father? Thank you so much that you have set it up. You've set up the world in a way that you want us. You've given us this gift. You want us to find our rest in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.